Good day and welcome. I'm Paul Levoy, Editor-in-Chief of Ascend Magazine.
And I'm Sarah Riven, Government Affairs Director at Ventia.
And this is Week in Brief, your weekly roundup of the biggest news in licensure, regulation, and digital government.
Today, we'll be discussing the top stories for the week of May 15th, including Wisconsin's move towards universal licensure, sport licensure news out of Kansas and California, and cybersecurity recommendations for state government from state IT leaders. Paul, let's start with Wisconsin. What's happening there?
Legislators in Wisconsin want to create a universal licensure recognition standard for professionals attempting to practice with credentials from other states.
We've talked a bit about some universal licensure moves. What's driving this in Wisconsin?
The new bill is technically sponsored by Senator Rob Stafsholt and Representative Nate Gustafson. However, it was initially developed by the Legislative Council Study Committee on Occupational Licenses. As you'll know, this follows the trend of many states we have been seeing lately that are sort of inching towards some form of universal licensure. It probably bodes well for worker mobility, the integrity of public protection across disciplines. Time will tell, of course.
So what specifically would this bill do?
The bill would allow the state government to provide reciprocal credentials to professionals certified in their fields in other states. It would basically expand a reciprocal licensing standard that already exists for military families specifically. The committee who designed it says the new standard would apply to professionals credentialed and in good standing outside of the state, even if they don't currently reside in Wisconsin.
In what way would that affect other licensing provisions, like the one for military families that you mentioned?
If enacted, this new legislation would replace other reciprocal licensing provisions that are active in the state. Applicants would be unable, it should be noted, to receive a reciprocal license if the current credential is under any sort of restriction or if they are under investigation by a licensing board. Now, Sarah, I understand there are updates to licensure in Kansas as well. What can you tell us about that?
So earlier this month, Governor Laura Kelly signed Senate Bill 131 into law. Among other provisions, the bill creates a sports waiver for certain health professionals traveling to the state.
How does that work?
So with the passage of this bill, sports team doctors and other healthcare workers can get a temporary waiver so that they can treat athletes while they are in Kansas. The State Board of Healing Arts is charged with issuing these waivers, so those traveling doctors and healthcare workers would work with them to get those waivers.
Has this been a big issue in Kansas?
Well, prior to the law's passage, Kansas was one of only four states without this sort of waiver. The remaining three states are Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Hawaii. One of the key drivers is Kansas's Major League Soccer team, Sporting Kansas City. The sports facility that is used as Sporting Kansas City's training facility will be used during the 2026 World Cup. And also, the recent successful 2023 NFL draft was held in Kansas City, so this is a pretty timely issue.
Was there any controversy around this new measure?
No, the American Medical Society of Sports Medicine advocated for the legislation. They say the changes affect only the out-of-state athletes and their team physicians. Senator Jeff Pittman, one of the bill's supporters, said the bill, quote, ensures that players are safe and have continuous care while traveling and gives yet another reason for professional teams to see Kansas as a great place to play ball. The bill passed the House 118-4 and the Senate 38-2.
Sounds like a home run to me. In other sports news, I hear there is controversial licensure legislation in California, too. What's going on there?
So currently, California is the only state that doesn't regulate athletic trainers. Now a bill is making its way through the California legislature to change that. Assembly Bill 796 by Assemblymember Dr. Akilah Weber would regulate the athletic training profession by establishing the Athletic Trainer Registration Committee within the Medical Board of California. But it's important to note that the bill would require athletic trainers to be registered, but not licensed.
You mentioned California is the only state that doesn't regulate this profession. Why the controversy?
Well, let's start with the opposition. Opponents include the California Nurses Association, the California Physical Therapy Association, the California Academy of Physician Assistants, the Occupational Therapy Association of California, and the United Nurses Association of California Union of Healthcare Professionals. These folks point to two main issues with this registration requirement. The first is they say there is no athletic training crisis. There aren't a lot of instances where there are issues with athletic trainers. So why regulate the profession in this way? The second reason they point to is the bill is so broad that anyone registered would be able to work with nearly any patient for nearly any physical condition. So a much broader scope than what we think of when we think of athletic training.
So what are the proponents saying?
So Weber says she doesn't really understand the opposition. Currently, there is no regulation, so athletic trainers are basically doing whatever they want without supervision. Dr. Weber is a mother of two athletes and a physician herself, and she was surprised that California doesn't regulate athletic trainers already. There are a number of supporters of the bill, and they include the American Medical Society for Sports Medicine, California Coaches Association, the National Football League and their California teams, and several California colleges and universities.
So what's next?
Assembly Bill 796 passed out of the Assembly Committee on Arts, Entertainment, Sports, and Tourism by a 5-0 vote. It also passed out of the Assembly Committee on Business and Professionals by a 13-0 vote. Both of those votes were last month in April. And the bill now awaits further action in the Assembly Committee on Appropriations. Paul, let's shift gears. I hear NASIO is calling on government to strengthen cyber defenses. What's going on there?
That's right. A recent report from the National Association of State Chief Information Officers, or NASIO, in concert with the National Governors Association, has outlined some measures state governments can take to strengthen their cybersecurity workforces.
Why are they looking at this issue now?
Well, in addition to cybersecurity being an increasingly relevant and critical issue, the report depicts a public sector workforce in decline, pointing out that at the beginning of 2022, the job opening rate for state and local governments was at its highest point in over 20 years. Having spoken with experts in the field about possible solutions, these two organizations are proposing a whole set of recommendations for state governments to hopefully address this issue.
So what does the report say about this?
Well, the report draws on insight from a variety of stakeholders, including advisors, public officials, and experts. And it attempts to identify some of the critical roadblocks in the nationwide effort to achieve a strong cybersecurity workforce across the whole public sector.
So what sort of roadblocks do they identify?
According to NASIO and NGA, the roadblocks include the unavailability of remote work options. That's one thing. The lack of internship opportunities for entry-level workers, and also the length of the hiring process for new employees, which has been quite long.
So I'm guessing they come up with some specific recommendations. What do those include?
Broadly, they include digital transformation. I know that's a rather loose and ambiguous phrase, but the idea is to allow for more collaboration with cybersecurity stakeholders, including notably those in the private sector, where cybersecurity is also hugely relevant, academia, nonprofit, federal government, and others, to provide more talent development opportunities. It also underlines a greater focus on DEI, or diversity, equity, and inclusion in the hiring process, and suggests that states could adopt better marketing strategies to present themselves as attractive places to work, as well as more flexible work options like remote and hybrid work, and to just update some of the position descriptions on their websites to reflect industry standard job titles and more recommendations. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Thanks, as always, for listening. I'm Paul.
And I'm Sarah.
Don't forget to sign up for Ascend Magazine's Week in Brief newsletter. The link is in the show notes. And subscribe to Ascend Radio. Till next time, stay informed and stay safe.